Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Steph and Luka, Tatum and Butler, the final four. Let's put Clinton Yates, Sarah Spain, Israel Gutierrez, and Frank Guysola on the spot. Who's the best player right now you want carrying your team to the title?
If I got to pay, Luka.
Leaping.
Tatum, too.
All right. Thanks for at least humoring me there.
Worth the price of admission, Step that three. Guy is.
Marcus Smart looking like a game-time decision. Robert Williams good to go. Miami, they've got about 23 guys they go to, but Kyle Lowry is out. Celtics Heat, game one tonight. I don't need to say any more. Sarah Spain, around the horn to you, what is the biggest deciding factor in this series?
This feels like such a defensive battle that it's going to be whichever team can create offense. I know that sounds really obvious, but I think it's going to be really difficult in the half court for both of them. The Heat forced the third most turnovers in the league, but they don't have Kyle Lowry to lead those transition breaks, and he's a huge missing piece there. So how are the Heat going to make sure that they can score with a defense as stifling as the Celtics? On the other side, what's fascinating is the idea that maybe you're terrified by facing someone like Giannis because he is so imposing, but also very predictable. Who are they going to? Giannis over and over and over again. Who are the Heat going to? They can go nine deep in double figures. So the matchups in this series are going to be the most fascinating, and which team is able to adjust the most to what the other team is showing them.
Mm-hmm. Israel Gutierrez, you're in Miami. I turn to you.
Very much in agreement with Sarah. Both of these teams are going to be facing defenses that are a higher level of the defenses that they faced so far in the tournament. And yes, the Celtics did face the Bucks, but this is a different Miami team, and they're harassing you. And look, Eric Spoelstra told you over and over again in that Philadelphia 76ers series that James Harden and Joel Embiid are two MVP-type players that deserve that type of attention. Well, I'd argue there's only one on the Boston Celtics. So I think Jason Tatum is going to get as much defensive attention that he's gotten his entire career in this series. Because if you go back to that previous series, it looked like, especially the last game, every time James Harden or Joel Embiid touched the ball, somehow there was a triple team around them. Somehow, both of them. And so the math doesn't really work, but that's how intimidating this Heat defense has been. So however the other responds to the more effective defense is probably gonna win the game one and probably go on to win the series.
Frank Guysola, number one thing deciding this series?
I think it's Tatum. When you look at what he did in the first round against Brooklyn and Kevin Durant, what he did in the second round against Milwaukee, Giannis Antetokounmpo, you score 46 points in an elimination game in Milwaukee like he did. That puts you at a different level. And we all went crazy over Grant Williams, the way that he played in Game 7, all those wide-open shots. You know why he was wide open? Because Jason Tatum knows how to play basketball, and he was willing to pass out of the double team. And what I find fascinating about both these teams, think about this. Last year, Miami was swept. Boston lost in five games. That meant that these two teams want to combine one game. It says so much about these two organizations that they don't panic, they don't overreact to one bad season. The way that they bounce back says a lot about both.
Sounds like somebody here is applying to get out of the Nets beat and go cover the Celtics. Clint Yates, how about you?
That proximity in those two teams, though, is the reason why I'm not necessarily going to any of the big guns is what I think is going to determine this series. At the front court level, at the center level, even at the back court for the starters, this all kinds of evens out. So for me, it comes down to depth. And the Heat have two players that I do not think that the Celtics have. And Tyler Hero, as far as his sixth man of the year is concerned, as far as Victor Oladipo, who's really resurrected his career, I just think that the back court depth is going to be something that is extremely important in this series, particularly because of the ceiling that the Heat have for them.
So I'm hearing depth. I'm hearing rotation. I want to go back to Israel Gutierrez, though, because you said triple team Tatum with three different guys and then another three different guys, six guys on the court at once. Paint the picture for me a little bit more specifically here on Spoelstra's game plan tonight for Tatum.
Yeah, and so you looked at the game six again, and you saw James Harden. They didn't do a lot of switching. They stayed on James Harden, tried to keep one defender there and just make things more difficult for the 76ers. And I think you're going to see a lot of that with Jason Tatum. It's not going to be the automatic switches. It's not going to be the things that you're used to maybe seeing Miami play. You're probably not going to see much zone either until they start really killing that man-to-man. And so that's what I think the type of attention you're going to get to Jason Tatum. Old school type of defense. Stop that guy. We'll see what everybody
All right, so we're looking old school, and by old school, you mean the 1990s and 2000s. You don't mean the 1960s. Yeah, kid. You're expecting a 91-85 game. No. Frank Isola, make a pick tonight.
I think it'll be a low-scoring game as well, but I think Boston's on a bit of a roll right now. I think Boston's going to take game one tonight with Marcus Smart.
Clinton Yates.
Yeah, Celtics need this in order to win this series bad.
Sarah Spain.
I've got the Heat tonight.
Israel Gutierrez.
I'm going to take the Heat. They've done better without their starting point guard than the Celtics. And even if they do have Marcus Smart, he won't be his usual self. So I got
that. I got to make a correction. Time to find out what we messed up, stat boy. Israel, you've been in Miami for the entire run of the show, but we recently moved to the Fort Lauderdale studio. So let me give the Dale some credit here and some points. Wow. We'll move on. Before the game tonight, NBA draft lottery. Here are the odds. And here's the draft. It may be the most wide open in recent years, Israel, in Fort Lauderdale. What would be the most game-changing outcome tonight?
Well, there's two to me. One, the entire world would lose it if the Knicks win it, right? And that would change the world of basketball in some sense regard. But I do believe that the New Orleans Pelicans are probably the most intriguing because of what we saw, the improvement that they had from, you know, the middle of the season toward the end. The idea of Zion Williamson coming back onto this team that already has, you know, C.J. McCollum as a primary scorer, Brandon Ingram as a primary or secondary scorer. And if they can just put an impressive piece, a rotation piece in that, you're talking about a team that's more than likely going to make the playoffs. And I think when you're talking about Zion Williams and hoping that he's healthy, if you're going to see that guy in a playoff run in basically his first full healthy season, I think it's what the basketball world
And of course,
wants.
So it's the Pelicans for you, and of course you know how they came to have that pick. Frank Isola, I turn to you.
That's what Izzy didn't want to say, because if they get that pick, that's one more knife in the Lakers,
yes,
who've had a brutal year. And if that turns out to be the number one overall pick, imagine that. You mentioned the Knicks, but here's my thing about getting the number one pick. There's not a clear-cut guy. There's not LeBron out there. There's not Tim Duncan. But remember this. Look at all the teams left in the playoffs. You know, Steph Curry wasn't the number one overall pick. Luka wasn't the number one overall pick. Tatum, again, was number two. The bottom line is you can get a great player in this draft, so you don't have to have the number one pick this year. You don't have that clear-cut number one guy.
What would be the game-changing outcome for you, Clinton Yates?
I think that knife has already been turned that Frank mentioned, simply because there's like a 90% chance that it's a top 10 pick anyway, never mind the number one pick. But I think for the Trailblazers, this is extremely important, if for no other reason than Dame Lillard's going to be on the dais right there trying to figure out whether or not his future is going to be something worth doing in Portland. I mean, this has been such a major storyline for what that team's future is going to be behind one of the stars that we've all rooted for. I think it's interesting that he's going to be the person there, and if they can manage to pull the number one, maybe there'll be some hope up there in Rose City.
And Sarah Spain.
Yeah, I think there's so many question marks around the teams that need a ton of help and are in the lottery for very good reason versus something like the Pelicans, where it'd be really interesting to see who you're adding to a team that already had a surprisingly good second half after the CJ trade and went into the playoffs looking much better and haven't even added Zion. I was going to say the Blazers, though, and I think that's because we have heard over and over again Dame say, I want to win it here. I want to bring a parade down the middle of Portland, and that's going to be tougher to do if they don't figure out how to do this rebuild fast. For him to even be a part of a team that had to intentionally tank near the end to get to the position that they're in, and for it not to work out with a good pick that changes the team, tough to watch.
So two for the Pelicans, two for the Blazers and the Knicks. This would be the year they get it, right, Frank, when nobody is the unanimous?
Not like it matters.
You know what I watch for? I watch for this, especially when they have someone like Damian Lillard who's on the team, or someone like Swin Cash, who's just so much fun to watch. You watch their face as it all plays out in front of them, and they have to keep the smile.
Shout out to Nick Collison.
Yes, exactly.
Thunder
they
great.
To keep that smile listening when they know they didn't get the pick they wanted. We'll move on. One more story here. PGA Championship later this week. Southern Hills Country Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But lost is any preview right now, because the only question everyone can ask, where is Phil Mickelson? The defending Wanamaker Trophy champion. Not playing, that's always a headline, but when you enter and then you pull out last week like Phil did, and you don't release a statement like Phil did, and you haven't commented publicly since, well, the publishing of your desires to play on the Saudi Arabian tour came out, where he belittled human rights abuses. He lost sponsors. He's currently a pariah. The tour says he's not suspended. But now, his fellow players are being asked about him. Roll tape.
Phil's got to do what Phil's got to do. I can't remember last time a major champion didn't defend a title.
It's always disappointing when the defending champion's not here. I think that some of his views on how the tour could be run, should be run, been a lot of disagreement there.
Unfortunate, sad. This should be a celebration.
Frank, how should golf fans feel about Phil Mickelson not playing this week?
Well, I think golf fans love Phil Mickelson. I think the media has always fawned all over him, but I think Phil Mickelson, things are going to start to turn for him. But for me, this has been a guy years ago used to complain about the Ryder Cup captain. Remember when he hit his ball that was rolling on the green? He should be a caretaker of the game. I think he's always gotten a bit of a pass. The players are in a tough position having to answer for him. Because guess what? Phil Mickelson didn't want to do what they did today. He didn't want to have to stand there in front of a microphone.
True.
And have to answer some very tough questions.
But let's not even avoid it. I mean, belittling human rights abuses. That was published in the book by Alan Shupnick that comes out today for Phil Mickelson. But he's had now months to address this and hasn't, to the liking of the greater community here. Israel Gutierrez, I'll bring you in here.
Which is why he's not there. He stepped in it, and he is not willing to face the consequences right now in this what's supposed to be a celebration for him, right? And I think he is doing the right thing. He probably should be a little bit more transparent as to why, but I think he is doing the right thing by not playing. I don't think it's as huge a deal that a defending champion is not there. I think fans think of it maybe a little bit differently than the players do. I thought the celebration for the fans was last year when he won it, and so I don't think that they really need to go over that again. And so, yeah, I think it's just quite telling. If he is staying away, if he's not saying a word, it's because, yeah, there's a lot of things that he knows might happen if he does show up, and he doesn't want to face that stuff right now, so he's bailing.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, it's not just facing the comments that came out a while back, as Alan was talking about the book coming out, but the gambling debts, the millions and millions of dollars that have come out. Greg Norman further inflaming the issue by making really ignorant comments about Jamal Khashoggi and everything else that has gone down. Like, you need to be intentional about your involvement with something like this, and he very clearly didn't think it through, and neither did Norman, and that's why you're ending up in a situation where the avoidance of it feels like a better choice, because they don't really know how to handle the mistake they've made. And I think, to Izzy's point, the celebration was last year, but that doesn't mean it's not strange and uncommon for the defending champion, especially one who won it at 50 and had this incredible moment late in his career, to not come back and try to defend it.
Clint Yates.
I think this all adds up to something that we could see from the body language of Rahm and Rory, which is that Phil, kind of an unserious person, and you can't have people like that being at the top of what is the PGA Tour in terms of representing everything. Jack Nicklaus came out and said he turned down $100 million from that Saudi league to do basically the same thing that Greg Norman was doing, and he said, why? Because I built this league, which is basically how everybody else feels. And Phil's out here running around, acting as if he's outsmarting everyone, when everybody's looking at him like, what are you doing, my man? We're here to play golf. You could join us. You didn't. Not a smart move for him, for a guy whose legacy is unwinding.
I mean, it has been startling how quick it's happened for Phil, and Frank, as you alluded to. I mean, he has been beloved in some circles of this game, and that now he is a pariah currently. And then the adjacent story about the Saudi Arabian-backed tour and whether that's blood money and how the tour will respond to that. That's ongoing as well. But they've got a golf tournament to play this week in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We'll talk about it later. Fire Sale next.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Verizon. 5G from the network more people rely on.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, It's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Stanley's Conference Semifinals. You get the Battle of Alberta up top. And down below, the Battle of Florida. We'll start there because it gets going tonight. The two-time defending champions versus the President's Trophy winners. How about that? Both put in work to get here. But now it's Lightning Panthers Game 1. Israel, you are in Florida. Who should be favored in this series?
Well, the Panthers should be favored, but they are also somehow the little brother in this series. And it's because the Tampa Bay Lightning just scare them out of their boots. It's not only just the two-time defending champs, but last season, the unfortunate matchup in the first round, and it was a nightmare for Florida. And if they start off slow the same way they did against the Capitals, they probably won't be able to recover against the Lightning. So, of course, they're going to be favored, President's Trophy, all that stuff. But I don't think mentally they feel like the favorite going in.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Spain, how about you?
I agree with Izzy, but I've still got the Panthers. It's so hard to repeat that three-peating alone. If you look at actually in the past, President's Trophy versus defending champs, it's happened 8 times in those series, 4-4. So there's a lot of the mental part that Izzy's alluding to here. I usually say that area of the country is America. Something in this case, it's hockey. So it's America's lower body injury. And I'm just sad for them that they're going to eliminate one half of the contributors in just this one series.
Clinton Yates, how about you?
We don't have to go to ancient history to see that it was this team that actually has won so many series in a row. So, yeah, I've got the playoff experience over them, and they beat a better team to get here. While the Panthers were 0-18 on the power play in the first round, the only reason is because point is out that the Bolts are not favored in this particular situation. Bobby.
Anybody?
But you've got Tampa then as the favorite in this series,
yeah.
And you're picking them to win, clearly. Frank Isola, yeah. How about you?
Yeah, Braden Point is a huge loss. That's 30 goals and 30 assists since the start of the 2020 playoffs for Braden Point. But the point that Clint made, you know, Florida doesn't score a power play goal, 0-18, and they still win the series. And, you know, you look at the penalty kill unit for the Capitals, much better than Tampa Bay. Florida with the home ice advantage. They got the monkey off their back by winning in the first round.
Wow.
Florida deserves to be
the highest. What a first round for the first time in 26 years. Why not win a second round while they're at it?
7% on the kill.
Okay. All right. So, Sarah, again, the joke is that the Battle of Alberta is America's upper body injury and the Battle of Florida is America's...
America's hat and America's members only.
Ankle.
We'll move on. Buy or sell two. News of the day from MLS, and it's huge if true. Alex Kandal, Football Total, DirecTV Sports, Lionel Messi to Inter Miami next year, and he will own 35% of the team. Kandal said the contract is complete but not signed. Messi's camp, and you never want to leave a messy camp, says nothing has been agreed upon. Whether it's a huge headline is one thing. Whether it's a huge breakthrough is another thing. Because how many all-time international greats have we seen come the Golden Parachute, finish their career, dominate a retirement tour, and move to America with their family? We've seen that one before. My question, Frank, has it ever lifted the league? Or the team.
Yeah.
Frank, what are you buying? What are you selling from the idea of Messi?
I think Beckham coming to L.A. was huge. Thierry Henry, when he was in New York, that was an unbelievable show. Remember this, too. A lot of great European players, whether it's Italian, Spanish, they'll go play in Japan at the end of their career, somewhere in the Middle East. There's nothing wrong with a player like Lionel Messi. This is one of the all-time legendary players and one of the most famous people in the world. If you're Miami and you get him, I don't care if it's 2 years from now. That's a home run.
Clinton Yates.
Reminds me of Wayne Rooney going to D.C. and Ibra coming out here to L.A. in terms of star power, immediately injecting something in a particular local market.
Right.
But you mentioned it, Tony. This is kind of the playbook that MLS runs. It's not necessarily something new. So Messi's relative fame, I think, is one thing versus whether or not MLS fans are going to say, oh, my goodness, I can't believe it's him. They've been doing this for quite a while, and it's worked out.
So is that a little bit of pause for you, or do you believe it?
No, it's just – It'll get people like Izzy out to the yard, but I don't necessarily think it's going to do a whole ton more than that for the larger development of what the
Israel's
game is.
Out in that yard. Go ahead, Israel. Floor is yours.
Well, it makes it sound like I'm just a casual soccer fan and I need Messi to go watch the Miami team. But look, the sexiest thing about the Miami team is their color scheme. And that includes David Beckham, you know, as the owner, okay? And so Lionel Messi coming to Miami would be absolutely huge. Nobody's saying it needs to save the MLS or needs to, you know, throw the ratings through the roof and to the next level or create them like an EPL type of league. It's just a great addition to a franchise that needs it. They need a boost. Eventually, we'll get the younger players, but right now, the older players and guys like Messi, you can't substitute that. You have to be able to do that.
And Sarah Spain, I turn to you. Remember the history here. Beckham to the Galaxy, and the rumor was that was a $1 billion deal at the time, which we know that wasn't the case. But was that a success, a return on investment?
We've seen this before. Basically, the MLS is the Florida of international soccer. This is just extremely on the nose. It's literally Florida where he's going to spend his early retirement. I think it's still a huge thing for the league. I understand that there can be a debate in whether the MLS needs this type of move anymore or if it can stand on its own without needing EPL and other players to come here late in their career. I also think it's fascinating that Messi's denying it because he doesn't want everyone watching his cup run, his time with PSG, saying he already knows he's on the way out of the highest levels. That's interesting.
Yates, Sarah Spain. Thank you.
What color are those unis, Izzy? And what color am I wearing?
Gutierrez, I saw the showdown. Two minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You got to do quite a bit of work to have the worst first pitch in Red Sox history because this is the current record holder. But last night, Steve Aoki did work and launched it high and into the net. Israel Gutierrez, was that on purpose? Or either way, even if this is how he threw it, should he lose his first pitch privileges?
Yeah, I was at a Steve Aoki set in Vegas one time. It was a pool party, and he threw cake into the pool, and I thought that was gross. And so I definitely think he did this on purpose for attention, and I do not think he should get another chance.
Frank, I saw it.
When Tony Reale threw it the first pitch in Staten Island, he hit the target. You're goofing around like that. It's the Red Sox. It's a nice honor. You're out. By the way, 50 Cent, the worst ever first pitch. Terrible.
I think 50 Cent still has the record, but nobody got injured in this one. At least there was the netting behind home plate. We'll move on. PGA Championship, and still not our preview yet. But this news story that has come out, that beers are $18, hamburgers are $14. Frank, fair or foul?
Yeah, $6 for a water sounds reasonable. The price gouging on the fans, it's outrageous. I remember working the U.S. Tennis Open concession stand years ago in college. The prices were crazy. Now I go eat before I go to the tennis.
No, that's perfectly fair. I don't want to hear these hooligans yelling mashed potatoes because they've had one too many of those drinks. I'm from Miami. Those are discounted drink prices, okay? Definitely keep hiking them up.
Get in the hole.
It's really good. Man. 30 seconds of fading
out. No, he's not. Boo.
Thank you, Tony. And yesterday, LeBron James had the Q&A on Twitter, and he answered the question to his dream dunk contest, and he included himself in it. Here's the dream dunk contest, okay? And it does not include Dominique or Michael. It is LeBron James. It is Ja Morant. It is Zion Williamson. It is Gerald Green. It is Blake Griffin, okay? That's the dream matchup right here. And, of course, Vince Carter, who's probably going to win it all. But those are your six best dunkers right there. LeBron, close. Actually, you're sixth on that list, LeBron.
Michael Jordan, are you nuts?
Booze for the FaceTime. Wow.
Michael Jordan. Udonis Haslam, put him in there.